Every year, Arizonans lose millions of dollars in gift card scams. If you're being harassed or threatened to use a prepaid gift card as a form of payment, don't do it. It's probably a scam. Instead, hang up and report the incident to the Arizona Attorney General's office.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. A suspect has been arrested in Phoenix for a report of a bomb threat. The Arizona Center in downtown was evacuated immediately. Read more about the bomb threat, YumaDailyNews.com. A baby formula shortage in the U.S. is driving parents to swap, sell, and offer leftover supplies to each other. Doctors and health workers have been urging parents to contact food banks or physician offices. Read more about the shortage on the website. A man from Yuma has been shot and killed by police. He didn't listen to them and was holding a machete. Learn more about what happened after he charged at police, YumaDailyNews.com. Police in Missouri have been looking for a man who barged into a home and attacked the homeowner after he helped himself to some food. The man made a bowl of cereal, then cut the homeowner. Read more about the cereal cutter, YumaDailyNews.com. If you have ideas for a local news story, you could always send us an email. That email is newsroom@YumaDailyNews.com. Go ahead and send us your story and we'll take a look. That's the news for now. I'm Kendra White.
The hardest thing to measure for most small companies is advertising return on investment, or ROI. Would it surprise you to know that most radio stations offer the highest ROI in advertising? Think 9, 13, in some cases 23-to-1 return when it's done correctly, which is long-term with a consumer focus. We can help you achieve that, but only if you want to. Go ahead and take the first step. Book an appointment with one of our marketing experts. Go to YumaAdvertising.com right now and take the first step toward marketing success.
Economists are warning that sanctions against Russia could trigger devastating inflation, worse than the current 40-year highs. Hi, this is Stephen K. Bannon, and I urge you to protect your savings right now with a gold IRA through Birch Gold, the only company I trust for gold. Just text the word SECURE to 989898 to get a free info kit on how to protect your savings with gold. So text the word SECURE to 989898.
Every year, Arizonans lose millions of dollars in gift card scams. If you're being harassed or threatened to use a prepaid gift card as a form of payment, don't do it. It's probably a scam. Instead, hang up and report the incident to the Arizona Attorney General's office.
We have been spoiled by the mild weather, but a dramatic warm-up takes place starting today, 98 this afternoon, and then triple digits, 104 tomorrow, 105 Sunday. When you discover a new favorite bottle of Cabernet or Chardonnay at Total Wine & More, you'll discover a whole lot more. So explore the wondrous selection and totally low prices at TotalWine.com, where you'll find what you love and love what you find. Drink responsibly. Be 21. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggerberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage. In studio, Russ Clark. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, some of the off-air conversations, we probably just don't.
It's not good for on-air.
I just always have to look over and see, is it a red light or an amber light on your horn there?
I try to keep close tabs. You know, there's an occasional slip, but
right.
not often.
Very rare. If anybody ever hears like 15 minutes of dead air and then off-color commentary, then you know it was the wrong color button.
Yeah, we do have a rule in here that we try not to say anything that would be FCC not approved.
Well, I didn't say that,
no, it was, it's FCC approved, it just wouldn't be good.
No
Absolutely.
And you do have a guest sleeping on the floor here,
isn't that amazing? She's been there the whole show.
What's the scoop?
Well, my daughter is pregnant and she's on home rest, and home rest is hard when you have a five-year-old or a four-year-old. She's four.
A very energetic, precocious.
Yeah, even though she's a wonderful lady, she takes energy away. You know, she sucks it out of you, and she needs her energy. You know, she had the gallbladder thing, and it
Turned
into a pancreas infection, which could have killed her. airlifted to St. Joseph's, spent a, you know, better part of a week up there, and now she's home and still in pain. They can't operate, can't do anything until the baby's delivered, and they're going to induce labor on the 26th, which is 3 weeks early, but everything okay. should be good. So everybody's fine right now. Everybody's kind of holding on, and we just got to make another 2 weeks.
So you have 2 weeks of your grandbaby sleeping on the floor here.
It doesn't bother me, man. I got more injured. She does. I'll wear
clearly
her out.
Clearly, it doesn't
out.
Seem to bother her either.
I'll wear her out.
She's not even listening to us.
Nah.
But, you know, to me, that's a great visual. This is kind of like her second home. She's comfortable here. It's safe and secure.
Yep.
And that's really what housing is. You know, for most people, it's the home. It's the one biggest purchase they're going to make, and it's where they're going to have their kids grow up, their grandkids show up like you do. It's going to be where you go home in your domicile to get away from everybody else and just relax and be yourself.
Correct.
She's clearly comfortable here. This is like her second home.
Familiar.
And what I'm starting to get is people who go, oh my gosh, is this a good time to buy? Oh my gosh, should I buy because of what the market is doing? And I sometimes have to just stop and say, okay, explain what you're asking a little bit more. I know what you're asking, but why would you ask that? And it's most people just have fear, right?
Right.
They're not wanting to get hurt. They're not wanting to buy at the wrong time. But let's be honest, for 99% of the country, can you time real estate?
No.
No. You need a home, and a home is where you take your family to. So if you had bought 2 years ago, were interest rates lower, yes or no?
Yeah, oh God, yeah. Huge.
Okay, so 2 years ago was a better time to buy than now.
Yeah.
However, can you go back in time? No.
No, not that we know of.
Well,
I would say not us, no.
Okay, so we can't change that decision, but if we project forward, do you and all of the other wonderfully intelligent people that are listening to this show, do you believe interest rates are going to be higher by Christmas?
Yes, we're seeing nothing in front of us that shows a change in direction at this point.
So for everybody who's kind of paying attention, is it a good time to buy? Well, it's not as good as it might have been 2 years ago, but it's still a great time to buy because interest rates are going to keep going.
But we can only move forward, so it's the best time.
That's it.
That's it. And moving forward, it's the best time.
And that's the thing that is really difficult to get through, especially to some of the younger buyers. So to anybody who has kids and grandkids or younger staff members that may be on the fence about buying a home, mm-hmm. you know, here's the thing. They've never seen interest rates in the double digits. They've never seen interest rates that start with a 7 or an 8. And so when you tell them, oh my gosh, interest rates are in the middle fives, they go, oh, that's too high.
Some of them have got to be a little panicked.
they are, because all they've ever known is people talking about interest rates that start with a 2 or interest rates that start with a 3. But, you know, here's kind of an example for you. Average home right now in Yuma is about $250,000 for a basic bread and butter.
That's amazing.
It is, yeah, especially if you change the context and say that's $250,000. But compared to most places in the country, that's a very affordable home. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's take a $250,000 home, $250,000 home. If you did a 4% interest rate on $250,000, that payment is $1,193.
That's it.
Now, obviously, there's taxes and insurance, but that's principal
and there's money down.
That's just a loan amount on
$250,000. On $250,000. Okay.
If interest rates were at 5%, that same $250,000 home is now $1,342.
Okay.
So it is $150 a month more. For that 1% in interest rate increase. Now, let's pretend interest rates hit 6 by, let's say, Christmas. That same $250,000 home would be a $1,498 payment. So it really is, from 4% to 6%, about $300 a month difference.
Yeah.
Now, you're not getting 4% anymore. I believe that probably closer to Christmas, you're going to see interest rates start with a 6. But could most people, if they really had to, find $300 in their budget?
Probably. But here's something else they could do. They could say, we have to, at this stage, buy a house that's less money but fits the budet.
Yes.
That's the $1,100. If $1,100 is your budget, say, well, I can't afford the house this house. Well, there's other houses out there. Maybe you have to come down square footage or something like that. But the average person owns a house for what, 3-5 years?
Something. Well, first home is just under 5. Second home is up to 7 years.
So you look at it that way and say it's not forever, but it's home.
Right.
And it's better than living in mom's basement or in an apartment.
Well, it depends on what mom's basement looks like.
Well, I think that's true.
Now, let's talk about this, though. Do you and I logically believe interest rates are coming down anytime soon?
No. Okay. I don't even know what the date would be. I can't even look forward far enough.
So when people talk about, well, what if there's a correction? They're not saying correction in interest rates. They're saying, what if there's a correction or a stall in prices? Now, here's the funny thing. Let's pretend, comparatively, that $250,000 home, let's say prices pulled back 20%. And you and I know they're not going to, so don't anybody panic. But
right.
If prices pulled back, that $250,000 home would be worth $200,000, correct?
Right.
A $200,000 home at 6% is an $1,199 payment.
Same payment.
So it's virtually the same payment as that 4% interest rate. So if you're waiting for the pullback, but the interest rates keep rising, you're in trouble.
But the demand has not shown any signs of
slowing
down.
And here's the worst thing is, you know, Arizona is slotted. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. They're projecting a 19% increase in cost, which I think is too much. But let's take a look at what if it went up maybe 10% and it went from 250 to 275.
Sure.
That $275,000 home at 6% interest, which is really where rates are going to be by the end of the year, that payment is now $1,648. So the cost of potentially waiting might actually cost you $200 a month more you're risking the lottery ticket of, oh my gosh, I hope it's going to be cheaper later. So I just won't give myself a home like what your grandbaby here wants. She just wants a place to go sleep. She wants security. She wants safety. She wants a home.
Yeah.
Now,
and that's a fact.
And now here's the takeaway for me. If you have a 30-year fixed mortgage, what is the one thing that really nobody talks about? A 30-year fixed mortgage, there's principal and there's interest.
Okay.
So each and every month, you're amortizing some of your principal. So all of a sudden, let's take that same $250,000 home. Do you know how much on month 21, so just a little over a year and a half later, month 21, do you know how much of that payment, if you had a $250,000 loan, if your interest rate was 5.5%, because that's about where rates are now, how much money is a principal reduction each and every month?
Oh, pennies.
Nope, $300.
It is?
Yep. On month 21, on a $250,000 home at 5.5% interest, you're already paying $300 a month to your principal.
Oh, I thought you meant changes month to month.
No.
They're paying $300 a month.
So all of a sudden, the math. That's $3,600 a year that you're paying your mortgage down. That is money in the bank based on your asset. Now, obviously, assets rise and fall.
That's reducing your debt. It's reducing your debt by $300 a month.
But if you go rent, whether it's a home, an apartment, you wait. You hope you're going to wait another year or two because you're praying there's a correction. How much money did you potentially just waste in higher interest rates, potentially higher sales prices, and not reducing your own debt and starting that amortization schedule to say, at some point, if you took a 30-year loan, at some point, if you stayed in the home for 30 years, like you were going to be a renter, it's paid off.
But there's some people that may wait for the perfect time to buy the perfect house at the perfect rate, and it never happens.
And there is never going to be a perfect house rate, purchase price, nothing.
But there is a perfect time to take a break.
Hey, we'll talk about that perfect break and other non-perfections after the break. This is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Hey, Yuma, Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage on a Friday the 13th.
Oh, thanks
I
for bringing that.
I like it.
Thanks for bringing that.
Come
up.
On. Friday the 13th is like my favorite day ever.
I'm going to join her on the floor and just wait until tomorrow.
I'll give you a funny story. My birthday is, I was born on a Friday the 13th. In October, no less, with a full moon. So yeah. I don't know that that explains anything.
But yeah, it does. Sure. It's helping me figure things out, sort them out. It's kind of making sense to me now.
Is it? Is
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking about home, and we're talking about whether it's a good time to buy. And what I think a lot of people who are so caught up in the what's on the news and is it the right emotional time, they forget about the emotions of the home. They forget about what happens at the home. And so, you know, some of the best stories with kids and grandkids are at your home.
Yeah.
It wasn't at your apartment. And it could be at your apartment. Don't take that in the wrong way. But
yeah.
It's building the home and things that you remember about the house. So I can vividly remember we had a two-story home, came home from work one time, and my boys were younger at the time. I want to say they were 8, 7, and 5 at the time. So two-story home. And here's what I was told is I've lost 2 shoes, a soccer ball, and a Frisbee, and they're all on the roof.
Okay.
Seems like an odd combination.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like a scavenger hunt.
Okay. So here's what I was told. Apparently they were kicking the soccer ball up onto the second story roof and then catching it as it comes down. You know what? We've all done stupid stuff like that.
We
used to throw baseballs up there and play catch, right?
Yeah.
It's because we didn't have any friends, so we played catch with ourselves. But so they kicked the soccer ball up, and apparently it lodged behind one of the vent tubes.
So they tried to knock it down with...
So my youngest son took a Frisbee because he knew he could throw the Frisbee and hit the soccer ball and knock the soccer ball and have the Frisbee come back off the roof.
And okay.
So they were both up there.
Yeah.
So then my middle son said, well, I'm going to throw my shoe that'll get both of those down. So he threw his shoe up there.
Uh-huh.
And when that didn't come down, he logically said, you know what? I'm going to take my other shoe because I know.
Don't need one.
I know I can hit the soccer ball and the Frisbee and the first shoe and get all of them to fall down.
Well, what happened with the sock, though? I don't understand.
No. Soccer ball.
Oh, soccer ball.
Soccer ball, Frisbee, and two shoes. So I came home from work, and they're telling me this story, and I'm trying not to laugh.
I was going to say, was that trouble or just laughter?
Oh, I laughed hysterically.
Yeah.
But now, the way our house was is there was a 36-inch pathway of paved bricks that was about 3 foot higher than the rest of the yard and the overhang. So yeah. I had to go get our 24-foot extension ladder. and it's almost straight up and down to keep it on the bricks because it wouldn't get in the yard, because if it was in the yard, it wasn't high enough to get to the roof.
So your kids almost killed you.
So now I'm almost straight up and down on a 24-foot orange extension ladder using a broom, trying to get these things off the pole.
Oh, my God.
And as I pulled the broom one time just a little too hard, it felt like the ladder started coming away from the roof a little bit.
That's a big fall, buddy.
Well, I thought I was going to wind up in the neighbor's pool across the fence.
Softer.
Finally got it all down, put the ladder away. And so, note to self, in my home, I have this great memory of two shoes, a soccer ball, and a frisbee, and almost falling off a 24-foot extension ladder. But was there a perfect time to buy that home?
No. I had to put all four of you on restriction.
Well, I did kind of restrict them from throwing things up on the roof at that time.
I'd have taken your ladder away.
Well, the downfall is, see, I probably should have let them keep doing the soccer ball, because note to self, they didn't use the soccer ball. They didn't use the Frisbee. But about 2 months later, on the opposite side of the house, they were using a softball.
And?
Broken window.
That's usually what happens.
So, you know, lots of stuff that happens in the home. And so one of the things that
is
really difficult, especially when the younger buyers come in, they don't know how much the home is going to become part of their memories. They don't understand how, yes, it might be $50 more. It might be $75 more. It could be $12 less. But
and a lot of times it's the painting and the fix up. It's the buying new furniture. You know, things that you wouldn't do for necessarily an apartment. An apartment is generally hands-off, it's temporary, it's not mine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to paint the walls purple, thank God.
I kind of figured you were a purple guy.
No.
All right. So, you know, tons of stuff to talk about with that. Still a great time to buy. I believe prices are still going up, but interest rates are going to go up. What happens when prices and interest rates go up? The cost will continue to go up faster. Yeah. So just understand that if you're looking at your budget today, there's no crystal ball, but it's getting pretty crystal clear.
Be careful.
That, you know, if you wait a year, interest rates are going to be higher. Yeah. And the one thing that I really don't like is there's a subset of our industry that tells people, well, you can refinance later. Well, no, you can't refinance later if interest rates keep rising. What would make you think that you can refinance and get a lower rate? Because the market is the market.
I've also heard buy as much house as you can possibly afford all the way up to the top, because, you know, over time your wages will increase and things, and it'll be easier to manage.
Now, that's not untrue. That is as long as instead of saying as much as you can qualify for, no, as much as you can afford, yes.
But yeah, but you've got to leave, well, it depends on the individual, but got to leave room for food.
You should, but look around. It's funny that people will absolutely go nuts over the payment on a house, and they will, you know, just lose it. But they'll pay 20% interest on a credit card.
Yeah.
And they'll pay 12% interest on a car.
Yeah.
And you see some people that are driving cars that are as much as a house payment.
But that's nothing they talk about.
Oh, but that's what's so funny is you go, I'm driving this, you know, $1,500 a month car, or I just bought all this stuff on credit and it's going to cost me $1,200 a month. But as soon as you go, oh my gosh, interest rates are in the fives, I'm not buying. Forget that. Where did we teach that to the average consumer?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But that's one of those things where, okay, the millennials and the Gen X and the Gen Y, the Gen Z, these people who've never really seen 8%, 9%, 10% interest rates. They've never seen a market like that. It's still a great time to buy because you need a home.
Yeah.
No matter what, you know, the sweetest thing is knowing my payment is fixed. It's on 30-year loan. I get to drive into my own garage. My car is locked in the garage. My home is my home. My family is there. You know, you're done. You don't have to do this gambling what if. And I'm just going to say, are you a great stock picker?
Nope.
So that's not something.
But I know people that are.
You do.
Yes.
But you're not a great stock picker. Are you a great economist who can forecast where interest rates are going to be?
No, but I'm more aware of it than most, but okay. I'm not.
And you have people that you talk to and you're more aware of it. The average 25-year-old, do you know where interest rates are going to be?
They don't even understand the concept.
So how, and there, you know, again, I love the conversation, but how can you say, oh, I'm going to wait for the market pullback. I'm going to wait for rates to come down.
Because they heard it from an uncle or some neighbor or somebody across the street, or they sat at a lunch counter and somebody at the counter said it.
There's the problem. Yeah. So why have interest rates gone up so much in the last 6 months?
Multiple reasons.
Okay.
But a lot of it has to do with just the basic too much money going after too few goods. It's just pretty basic.
Supply and demand.
Yeah.
And you've got the Fed is selling bonds, not buying bonds. And we've talked about that before.
Yep.
You know, the Fed has raised the Fed funds rate. So everything they're doing is going to try to slow down inflation, which they kind of caused anyway. But
they won't say that.
They won't say that. But now we have to stem the tide of inflation, which means the only way to slow down inflation is
dry up the money,
which is rates have to go higher. So for everybody who's looking to buy, you know, again, there's no crystal ball, but it's getting crystal clear. Whether it's a car, a house, rearranging your debt, still a great time to do it. The great American debt restructure we talked about 18 months ago, kind of over.
Yeah, but it's still not late.
It's not too late because there's opportunities.
Better deal today than next year.
Yes. And so there's a lot of situations that will come up. So the one thing that we haven't talked about is what people are potentially doing with the equity in their home. But I don't want to talk about that till after the break. So for right now, this is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Happy Friday the 13th, everyone. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here on Money Talk. Good morning, Russ. Why do you shiver when you...
Well, you know, it's not that I'm superstitious because I think that's bad luck, but 13th is not supposed to be good on a Friday. So I'm ducking.
Oh, come on. Quit being so superstitious. You're the guy that is. So let's talk about mental stuff, though. That's just something that's programmed into a lot of people's psyche, right?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the best guys I've ever hung around with and gotten to know and had the pleasure of meeting, Rene Rodriguez, talks a lot about, you know, mental and framing and getting out of your own way. Well, guess what he has? This just in.
Amplify Your Influence.
That is his new book. And so I got a couple of advanced copies of it. And at some point, I'm going to... Did I leave a paper in that one?
Nope.
Can't tell. So I'm going to put together a presentation with him and get him either out here doing some stuff with us. But this is his new book. And super excited to read it. Literally just came in on the... mail yesterday, so I have not even cracked it. So got a copy for you, got a copy for me. Yeah, that is your copy.
Really?
I expect you to read it. And then at some point I want to get Renee on air with you and I and
we can discuss it.
Absolutely. Why not? Right. We'll put him on the spot. We'll see how quick he is on this stuff.
Yeah, he's the one I asked how if he could help me, fake sincerity.
Mm-hmm. What's fun is when you know what's going on, yeah. Watching you ask the questions and listening to him answer. But what was his answer?
He laughed immediately. He said, "You can't."
Yeah,
you can't because people see it, and he's right. He's exactly right, but. I was just checking his credentials as a real speech instructor.
Okay, but go down that road. For crying out loud, you can't fake sincerity.
No.
And lots of these things are here to help you mentally get over the Friday the 13th
stuff. Well, and I don't really have that. I'm just messing with you. But you've got to change your whole perspective on life. You don't. And I don't disagree with fake it till you make it or fake it till you become it. That's a Dale Carnegie type thing, which is true. I mean, sometimes you have to, to get over your fears, to get over your problems, you just got to do it.
That's a belief in yourself, yeah. Not a being fake to somebody else.
No,
I think your question
correct.
Was, can I fake being authentic to somebody?
No.
No, you can be authentically you.
But you still got to get on stage and you still got to do stuff, even though your knees are shaking.
Yep.
And eventually it'll become you.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually you'll be that guy. That has a stage presence, and instead of somebody saying, "Wow, did you see that guy? How scared he was," but that's okay.
They're all scared anyway.
You get through that. That's not untrue.
Truthfully, I mean, if you're not nervous or tense or have some fear, mm-hmm. then isn't that when you're going to make the mistakes anyway? Or doesn't that mean that you just don't care? I mean, if I go in for brain surgery, I want my doctor to be just a little nervous that he's going to do a good job. I don't want him to be so relaxed that you don't really pay attention, you know?
It takes it too casual.
So I think having that, and if you talk to any of these speakers who are on stage, they always get nervous. They're always worried, is anybody going to show up? I mean, you know,
that's true. But I never care about that. You know, and I talk to politicians about that all the time. They say, there wasn't enough people. It's never a problem, particularly for politics, because we're going to talk about it as if it was a Trump event.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. There could have been a million people in the audience if there was one. You wouldn't really know. And you just got to get the messages.
Like a Joe Biden event or a Trump event. There's a difference.
So I'm super excited to read the book. Renee Rodriguez, I don't know if you are listening or not, but thank you for the couple of advance copies. I know those are going on sale. Can't wait to see his success with the book. Known him for near on what?
It's been a while since you introduced him on the air here. It's been 3 years or mm-hmm. so. But books like this, and they're not easy to make it to bestseller lists and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes to do that, you already have to be a household name. You know, if Rush Limbaugh, he wrote a book, it's bestsellers the day he announces it.
Yeah.
You know, but to make it, if you're like a local celebrity, like a statewide or countywide or something like that, and to get into that, that's a tough gig. That's a tough deal. So good for him.
Well, good for him. And, you know, again, you look at some of the endorsements that he has on the back. You look at – and I've heard people talking about this book already. And, again, I'm super excited to read it. I have literally not cracked it. I brought two copies over here and figure you and I can see who's the speed reader and who gets done with it first.
Amplify your influence. I need to amplify my influence to my granddaughter. You know.
Oh, I think you're doing just fine. You cut up apples and you've got pillows and blankets here, and I think she thinks you're the cat's meow.
Yeah. I bought love.
Isn't that what most people do?
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. So, you know, lots of stuff, and we can either look at the positives or the negatives with everything. So if interest rates are going up, great. It means that we had the opportunity to get stuff cheaper, or you can say the sky is falling.
I got to say something negative here. Todd Barry's birthday is today, but he's 60.
Uh-oh.
You don't even know who Todd Barry is. I just met him the other day.
No, but apparently his birthday is on Friday the 13th.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Can't be a better day than that.
So, you know, cool. It's a birthday. Celebrate it. Now, you said 60. You can look at 60 as, is it a positive thing? I've had 60 great years and I want 40 great more.
Oh, I think he's going to raise more hell. Okay. I don't think he's done raising hell. So I think that's good.
I challenged everybody on my team and my staff this week and said, okay, when I get into the office, I need a list from everybody. That list is, I want 100 things you're grateful for.
That's a big list.
That's a huge list. Now, they all looked at me a little bit and said, what does that have to do with mortgages? What does that have to do with people's pay stubs and life. Credit? But sometimes we don't take, we take for granted what we should be grateful for on a daily basis.
Is this a list you're going to look at?
I will look at what they want me to look at. I've told them I want the list. I want to see that it was done. We're going to talk about some of the things that are on there, but I'm not asking them to turn it in.
I would imagine you could find out a lot about somebody and what they put on there, you know, like.
Very, very possibly. But what I wanted them to get out of is you see so many people complaining that, hey, gas prices are at such and such. But how many people start their car and let their car run so the AC cools off the car before they get in it?
You mean other than me?
Yeah.
Most people.
Most people. So, you know, again, what I was trying to explain to them is, yeah, we may complain about gas prices are being high, but you're still, you have the ability to start your car and turn the AC on and cool it off before you get in. Are you grateful that you have gas in the tank that you can do that?
Most everyone I know is driving less.
Okay, so they're driving less, yeah. But are they grateful they have a car? Are they grateful they can still go get gas and put it in the car? Are they grateful that, you know, we live in the United States where nobody's shooting at us while we're filling gas up in our car? Those kinds of things. And it could be even something smaller.
What?
Well, hey, you have a certain task. So for everybody who didn't hear, Russ Clark will be right back.
Oh, no, no.
But I will be here. But anyway.
She's on her own.
Okay.
You know where it is, right, babe? Yeah, she's on her way to
okay,
the
I
rest.
I just didn't know if you needed to turn lights on or whatever.
She
but
teaches
from
me.
A, you know, here's something I think we take for granted all the time. The basic necessities that are amazing to most people in the world. Did you brush your teeth this morning?
Yeah.
Did you have toothpaste?
Yep.
So you had a toothbrush and a toothpaste.
Electric toothbrush.
And do you use that same toothbrush to clean your toilet bowl?
No.
So you have two brushes in the same room to do two different jobs?
Correct.
Did you brush your hair?
No.
Okay. Do you have a hairbrush?
No. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So I kind of cut the hair all off. I did away with hair.
But, okay, did you brush your grandbaby's hair?
No. I just woke her up, put her on the floor. Okay. She's as you see her right now.
Well, there you go. But you have at least
that's a normal thing.
Three brushes in the same room to do three different jobs.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And we take for granted some of these things. What I wanted my team to do is be a little bit more appreciative that, you know what, there's electricity, there's air conditioning, we're in a quiet room, there's plenty of opportunity, we live in the United States, we get to have all of these amazing things, and sometimes we don't take the moment to appreciate it.
So you're doing all the positive stuff. It's not like I'm grateful my neighbor has cancer because I don't like him.
I'd say that may not be on the list.
You wouldn't want to put that on the list. Okay.
But, you know, again, here, I'm grateful that I know somebody named Rene Rodriguez and got a couple of advanced copies of a book. And
God, you're all into the positive. That's good.
Why shouldn't we?
We all should be, but you know that's not everybody you run into every day.
Now, you're part of the media, and I love how you separate yourself, and you're just a great analyst of what's going on, and you just kind of talk about stuff. But what is the news? How does the news get paid?
By doing something that's out of the ordinary. They're not going to say the plane landed well. They're going to start pointing out the things that really grab our interest, and those are generally horrific, you know, quite often.
How many flights land perfect and on time every day?
Millions and millions.
Okay. Yeah. But we never hear about that. We never hear about the pilot who was...
But it's by definition, it's not news, really.
Well, it's... News is supposed to be what's new.
It's not what we call newsworthy.
Well, news doesn't say negative.
No.
News doesn't say awful, but that's kind of what we all focus on. And so when people walk in my office, I hear the, oh my gosh, interest rates are so high.
Of course.
Instead of, wow, we can still buy a home and we're going to have a roof over our family's head and a room for the grandbaby to sleep in. You know, again, it's just that.
People will talk about that. I mean, those are good, positive things that can be talked about, but it's got to be something out of the ordinary.
Okay, so give me something you're grateful for.
Something I'm grateful for? My granddaughter.
Why?
That's easy. She keeps me young, keeps me thinking. I look at the world through a different set of eyes, which is an amazing thing. It's silly things that I forget or don't understand how a four-year-old sees things. Like at the county fair, we're at the county fair watching the hogs, and there was a hog, a hog, a hog, and then there was a mother that was in the hog pen. And she walked up and asked her, you know, like, what are you doing in there? You know, and eventually got around to, well, when, how do you use the bathroom? She says, I can get out. I really have a house.
So she thought it was a human pen.
Yeah, well, she thought for some reason she was part of the livestock exhibition.
There you go.
And it just concerned her. Like, here's a nice mother. Mm. She said, now my son has the hog next door. And then it was, well, where do you sleep? I have a house. Let me show you. I can open the gate. But into a four-year-old, I didn't realize that would be the conceptualization. Because we were seeing animals in pen, animal in pen, animal in pen, animal in pen that happened to be, you know, a mother.
So the good news is, for everybody who's not seen Russ's studio, there's a window and a door. So this could be kind of like your pen. And like the zoo, people could come by, look at the window, and wave.
Yeah, one of those attractions.
There you go. You know, we could totally do that. We need an on-air sign outside the building so people can come wave to you through the glass.
The things we take for granted, she sees as exceptional.
And I think everybody does if you're not predisposed to what the traditional mantra is. You know, we turn, how many people go get a cup of coffee, turn on the news, watch 5 minutes worth of news, learn all the bads, and then start their day out that way versus, hey, come up with 10 or 15 things you're grateful for. So I'll be very interested when I get back to the office at 9:15 when we have our meeting.
How many wrote 100?
They better all have wrote 100.
Okay.
I will be very...
I hope they're listening. They know 100 is the minimum.
They do. So, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I've seen most of the lists that are almost complete. They will. And I hope it's eye-opening to realize that, you know what? We all are going to have breakfast. We're all going to have lunch. You've got apples right there for your granddaughter. Mm-hmm. She's not going hungry. And at the same time, do you have a vehicle that you're going to drive her to your other work?
Oh, yeah.
So, will she be seatbelted in?
Yes.
Okay. So, you got a safe car. Yeah. She's going to get there. Then, I'm assuming you guys are going to probably have lunch.
At some point.
Maybe dinner.
Oh, definitely.
I bet you'll have a glass of water.
Of course.
You know, you look around and go, I'm looking at your studio. How many cameras do you have in here?
Two.
Two cameras, microphones all over the place, your own laptop, your own headphones.
Three other computers.
So much opportunity and so many things to be grateful for.
Right.
And yet sometimes the people that have a lot and the most are the ones that take the most for granted.
You know that, and you're right, and you know that one of my best friends is like the wealthiest guy in the country.
I've heard that before.
Edward, who is my fact checker and stuff. He you know, and he's been to Yuma quite a few times, and we talk quite a bit. And we're like, regularly. But he will comment to me that you're the richest guy I know. Because we forget sometimes the things that we're grateful for is not, it's not wealth or assets or things that we own that end up owning us because we worry about them. And sometimes we have an unhealthy outlook on assets in that we covet them and protect them to the degree that we're consumed by them. And it happened with my dad the other day, who's 88. I said, why don't you come to Yuma for a little while? Because he's having some struggles being alone. And he says, who will take care of the house? And I said, do you own a home? And he goes, well, yeah, because, you know, of course he's owned it for 30 years. And he says, of course. I said, oh, well, the way you talked, I thought maybe it owned you. And I'd like for you to think about that and call me back later.
Did he call back?
We discussed it a little bit more later. Yeah, but he's going to sell it. But he's at that point in life that the house is not bringing him joy. He lives alone in a three-bedroom house with a pool that used to be filled with laughter and family that is alone. Hmm. And it in his mind, it's still something he has to possess and have. And take care of, because that's what he's done for 30 years.
Yeah. And, you know, I can see the base of stability, and that's his...
Sure. Familiarity. Who he is. And we all need that anchor of familiarity.
And that's what housing is for most people. It's that anchor.
But here's what he's lacking, is the unknown, and he's lacking the unfamiliar. And we also need variety. And he has none of that, as well as no... adult conversations, really. I mean, he's become isolated. And that would drive anybody into being the next Unabomber.
Yeah. Let's not do that.
You need a break.
Well, let's take a break, and we'll talk about gratefulness in quite a bit after the break. This is Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, blue. Hey, Yuma 851 on a wonderfully beautiful Friday the 13th. It's gorgeous outside.
It is, and it's going to get hot this weekend, though.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like 106.
But we're humans; we do that.
But let's talk about being grateful. You know what? There's no snow, there's no sleet, there's no tornadoes. It's still going to be a gorgeous weekend.
I taught the word grateful to my granddaughter about 2 months ago, and as we drive, I tried.
And she thought it was a bowl full of grapes. She thought it was grapeful.
No, I don't let them get off on that. but it's one of those things that I teach her things without her knowing I'm teaching her. And I asked her, do you know what grateful means? She says, no, Grandpa. So I explain it to her. You know, I take the time. It's that we appreciate the things that we have. Like, I'm grateful to have a granddaughter. I'm grateful to have this car. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful to have the school that you're going to that I just picked you up to. And she started getting the concept and everything. And it was hilarious because she says, and I said, what are you grateful for? And she started telling me. And then she says, well, you know what grateful is, Grandpa. And she starts explaining to me. She says, yes. And she pulls her hand up like the don't talk to me hand. Like, mm-hmm. I'm talking, Grandpa. And she has to talk through it.
Wonder where she got that.
And I don't know, her mom. But but she went through the whole process of teaching me what grateful meant so that it anchored it into her.
I like it.
And she now uses it.
What you are also saying, though, is we're always teaching our kids. We're always teaching our grandkids, sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes the right thing, sometimes the wrong things. And you made a comment last segment where you said, sometimes the things own us, we don't own the things.
Yep.
And you're right, some people are very possessive oriented. Instead of, like, you see some business owners have to own the business because they need the money and they want that status. And other business owners are grateful and they have to do it because they believe they have to take care of the number of staff members they have. And so it's interesting. I can look at two business owners, and one is driven to make sure that the 30 staff members have jobs and can feed their families. And the same type of business owner might be driven that it's all about their money. And it really doesn't matter whether the other 30 people eat, sleep, live, or die.
And there's a limitation on all of us based on where we put those limitations. You know, and I used to talk to business owners, and they would say, I'd say, well, why aren't you bigger and grown and stuff? And it's always, well, it's hard to find people. You can't get this, you can't get that. But really, it's a self-limiting factor. Mm-hmm. They get very hungry if it's not making the bills, and they'll go out and hire to put people on. They'll do it. And then once they get to the comfort zone, I can't find anybody else. I can't make that change.
Well, it's the thermostat that you have right here.
Yeah.
When I walked in, what everybody does know, I don't know how you guys stood it, but it was like 85 degrees in here. It was stuffy. So I reached over while you and Mel were talking, and I turned the thermostat down a little bit, and now it's cool.
Yeah.
But if it got too cool, you would go over there and turn it up and open the door and warm it up just a little bit. We have a comfort zone that we're comfortable with.
But we don't even know why we limit ourselves. It's not conscious. We have an unconscious limitation or a glass ceiling that we put over ourselves about, but we don't admit it. When we do self-analyzing, we say, well, I would have been bigger, but.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the whole reason you wouldn't have been bigger is because you weren't comfortable with it. You didn't have the skill set and wasn't willing to do it, and you liked where you are. Just own it.
And as long as you can say, like, let's say I said, Russ, I need you to open a second location.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can do it?
Yeah.
You can open a third location.
Not for you, but I'll do it.
Okay. But now all of a sudden, if you said no, you could turn around and say, look, I'm saying no. It's not an attack against you, but I'm saying no because it's what I want to do and it's for me. So, you know, and a lot of people have a hard time saying no because they don't want to let people down and don't want to disappoint. And it would still be okay to say, you know what, Russ, I support what you want me to do. I think it's a great idea, but I can't do it for me. So I'm not saying no to you. I'm saying no for me because this is what I need to do.
Right.
And the same yeses should be the same.
Well, a lot of people don't have the skill set, develop the skill set to get the complexities of getting it to some levels. And it starts overwhelming them.
I would bet if we read Renee's book that we might develop some of those. But,
you can develop it. Everything's learned. Well, I just told you, Edward, my fact checker, who has more wealth than some countries, but... he's balancing it because he's got the right people on staff. He's got the right people he can trust. He has the right disposition. He knows how to handle those kind of things. Don't get me wrong. There's at times it's got to be a pain in the butt, but he has the people in place to asset. A lot of people start growing assets and they think they can still handle it all because that's how they did it.
You know.
And you have to start trusting people. You have to start bringing people. You have to start bringing in experts and all this kind of stuff.
Everybody should have a group of experts. Let's pretend you are Russ, the business owner. How many experts should you have around you? I'm assuming you have a CPA. I'm assuming you have an attorney. I'm assuming you have other business owners that you bounce things off of. You have your fact checker.
Well, yeah, mostly for me in the small business, it's going to be experts within the business industry, mostly. And of course you need an accountant and those kind of things.
So you still can't do it yourself.
Of course not.
Now what if you're a single mom,
mm-hmm.
like your daughter?
Right.
Does she need a team of experts?
Of course.
Okay, so she might have a babysitter, she might have a housekeeper, she might have her dad who is her de facto babysitter. She's probably got a pediatrician. She's probably got a general practitioner.
The smartest guys I know, though. Even if they think they know the answer, they call and ask. I mean, look, I'm like the poorest guy in the country, and Edward's like the richest guy in the country. He'll call me and ask me what I think of Uber investments.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll talk to him about it because he wants the insight of somebody that's not him, that sees something maybe he doesn't like. I look at the four-year-old that just left the room and is now running the place.
So you asking your granddaughter questions is like him asking you questions?
Correct.
So you still see the woman locked in the pen? Is that what you're saying?
It's like it's like asking a question because my aspect and my vision is different than his. I'm looking at it from a different place, and I have a different experience, and that's just intelligence. And that's why a guy like Edward is successful, is he doesn't rely just on his file of information, which is based on his experience and knowledge, which is greater than most anyone I know, but he wants to access everyone's file.
Wouldn't it be interesting if we all wanted to know the other person's experience before we made the judgment, before we...
We'd probably make better selections. We'd probably make better choices.
I mean, and again, don't care what side of the political aisle you're on, if if Democrat and Republicans actually sat down and talked about experiences and... tactical things behind.
Unfortunately, I don't think it's the way the two-party system has developed.
Well,
it should develop back to that, yes.
Should.
But it comes into such a power play that sometimes it's a sabotage, even if we have to hurt the country to get to an ends, and that's unfortunate.
Seems like we're headed that way.
It does.
But, you know, talk about the things, again, grateful. I am very grateful that we were all born here in the United States.
That your time is up.
I know. So I want to say I'm grateful that we live in the greatest country in the greatest time on earth. And I'm grateful that we have men and women who are serving or have served or have family members that served that allow us to live in this amazing country. I'm grateful that we can go fly the flag and enjoy this
KBLU
wonderful Friday the 13th. Have a great weekend, everyone. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
Solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.